Okay, tonight we are going to continue our overview with the book of Ezekiel. Okay. Again, Ezekiel has divided his scroll into 48 chapters. And the key thought in the book of Ezekiel is judgment and restoration. We see in Ezekiel the decline and fall of Judah and eventual restoration of Israel. The key lesson that we could draw from the book of Ezekiel is to know God. And as we look at these Bible books, Jesus in this book is, he's the good shepherd and the great physician. We've studied Isaiah, and he wrote about God's salvation. Jeremiah wrote about God's judgment. And next week, we're going to look at Daniel, who wrote about God's kingdom. And tonight, Ezekiel wrote about God's glory. Can I get someone to read this particular verse, Ezekiel verse 28, please?
As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance, such as the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking.
Thank you, Anne. So Ezekiel focuses on the glory of Jehovah. And he recognizes it. And he's committed to serving the Lord. The book of Ezekiel is divided into five parts. Chapters 1 through 3, we see the call of the prophet. Ezekiel sees the Lord and his glory. He is called as a watchman to the house of Israel to warn, reprove, and call them to repentance. So he has a task that's undaunting because of the sinful condition the people of Israel are in. In chapters 4 through 24, we see the judgment until the siege of Jerusalem. And the Lord instructs Ezekiel to use symbols to represent the wickedness of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem. Ezekiel prophesies of the Lord's judgment on Jerusalem and explains why famine, desolation, war, and pestilence will sweep the land of Israel. In chapters 25 through 32, we see the judgment and condemnation of nations. Not only is Israel judge, but also the nations around them. The Lord commands Ezekiel to declare the wickedness of the nations surrounding Israel and prophesies of their destruction. In chapters 33 through 39, we see the salvation for Israel. And the Lord reproves the leaders of Israel for being poor shepherds over their people. The Lord will be a true shepherd to Israel and will provide salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles. And finally, in chapters 40 through 48, we see the restoration of Israel and the temple. And Ezekiel records his vision of Israel's restoration after the exile and in the latter days. The Lord promises to gather the Israelites from captivity, return them to their promised lands, renew his covenant with them, and reunite the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And we'll see also in these particular chapters the reinstitution of worship, the way the Lord wanted to be worshiped. The purpose of the book of Ezekiel is to demonstrate how seriously God takes sin and will eventually bring judgment if repentance does not occur. This is seen throughout the book as God gives Ezekiel very vivid pictures of how Israel has forsaken him. And Ezekiel also displays God's ultimate plan for his people through the prophecies of Israel regathered and temple worship reinstituted. So Ezekiel had a pretty large task ahead of him to convey to the children of Israel. Ezekiel means may God strengthen. And Ezekiel gave his people hope and reminded them to remain faithful to God. That's a message for you and I today. When we read the book of Ezekiel, he's offering the people hope, and he's also reminding them to be faithful, something that we should have indelled upon our hearts and minds as we dwell upon this earth. He prophesies about the end of times. Other prophecies included Israel becoming a nation again after years of captivity. And that's found in this particular statement, dry bones come back to life. Can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 and 5, please?
Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life.
Thank you very much, Ty. So, God is in control. He wants his children, the children of Israel, to again acknowledge that God and worship him according to his way, not man's way. Ezekiel prophesies to the exiles in Babylon, giving them a message of hope for restoration. And when we look at their history, they were in captivity for 70 years before they were released. And the real hope of Ezekiel's message is purely messianic. And you'll see that in later chapters of the book. God called Ezekiel a watchman. And can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, please?
Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked ways that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquities, but you have delivered yourself.
Thank you, Carol. So we see that Ezekiel was called the watchman, and his job was to warn people of their wicked ways. And Jehovah said to him, if you don't, his blood I will require at your hand. So he will be responsible for not sounding out the message. What does that remind you of? It reminds you of the shepherds of the church who are watching out for the souls of the members of the body. That's a daunting task to undertake. As with Ezekiel, he was to watch the Israelites and warn them of spiritual dangers. Failure to sound the warnings made the watchman accountable to God for the sins of the people. So the sins of the people were going to rest on Ezekiel's shoulders if he didn't perform his duties. But we know that he was a faithful individual, and he put God first, and he followed God's guidance. He prophesied against both Judah and Israel, depicting their bondage, suffering, and humiliation in various graphic ways. I wish we could go through this particular book chapter by chapter and see how Ezekiel used many different tools to assist him in describing their wickedness. Can I get a volunteer to read this particular passage, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, please?
As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that Ezekiel the prophet is going to warn these individuals of their sinful condition. And the Lord knows that they are a rebellious people. But his job is to warn the people. And they may listen to him or not. But as we go through the Old Testament, we see that God's going to save a remnant of his people so that Jesus will come later on. God makes Ezekiel a virtual object lesson for Israel. He must himself feel the bitterness of those things of which he prophesies. Ezekiel, who in an earnestly practical way eats the sin offering, had to feel not only the sin of God's people, but the governmental judgments of God against that sin. Ezekiel is a book more helpful for strengthening the soul to stand firmly for God, even when alone and when faced with continual opposition. So Ezekiel is a good book to meditate on when we have lows in our lives, so that we can understand God's message, that he is there for us. And the book shows that the Lord is mindful of his people wherever they are. And he's going to listen. The God of the Old Testament is the same God as the New Testament. And if we were to communicate our thoughts to him and ask him for help, he is going to be there for us. We have to trust in God. And that's what Ezekiel did. He trusted in Jehovah. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. Can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, please?
Now it came about in the 30th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river of Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month, in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. So Ezekiel, when he was a young man, he was taken into captivity. He was about 25 years old, and he was going to start his priestly duties at the age of 30 in captivity. What is another book written during the captivity? Can someone remember what that is?
Daniel?
Absolutely. Thank you. It is Daniel. And we'll cover him next week if I ever put the lesson together. There's so many things in Daniel that it amazes me on the type of commitment he had to the Lord. His faithfulness was unmatched. And so is his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now we have Ezekiel, who is another priest slash prophet, who is trying to encourage the children of Israel to get their lives back on track with God. Ezekiel was married, and we are not told whether he had children. Can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 15 through 18, please?
And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow, and you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. groan silently, make no mourning for the dead, bind on your turban and put on your shoes and put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died, and in the morning I did as I was commanded.
Thank you very much, Anne. So we see that even though his wife had died, the Lord said, don't mourn for her. You have a job to do. And he did exactly what the Lord had told him. We see that Ezekiel lived on the banks of the Chebar River at a city called Tel Abib. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15, then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Chebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days when they were living, causing consternation among them. So he preached at this town called Tel Abib in the Babylonian territory. And he didn't go far from that. He mostly stayed around that particular area to warn the children of Israel about their sins. And the book of Ezekiel reminds us to seek out the Lord in those dark times when we feel lost, to examine our own lives, and to align ourselves with the one true God. It's fascinating to read this book because the condition that the children of Israel were in, they were separated from God because of their sins. When we are lost, we should examine our lives, see if we measure up to God's word. And we have to align ourselves with God, the only God. God intended the punishment and judgment in Ezekiel's day to be a means to an end, to bring his people to a state of repentance and humbly before the one true God. That's why God punished his people. He didn't want to, but he had to, so that they can see they were wrong, that they were in a sinful condition. And their relationship to God was severed because of sin. And we could put that in our lives today. When we sin, we are spiritually separated from God. And if you die in that condition, you're going to be lost eternally. So we have just a short time lifespan to correct those things in our lives. And by living a faithful, living a righteous life, God will grant us the grace and mercy to attain eternal life. They have lived for so long in sin and rebellion. This is the Israelites, confident in their own strength and that of the neighboring nations, that they needed God to remind them of his holy nature and their humble identity in a most dramatic way. After centuries of warnings, prophetic messages, and invasions, God decided that more significant action was required. He had to remove the people from their promised land. And don't forget, God promised them the land of Canaan. And when we read Joshua, if you remember correctly, that they didn't follow God's instructions a lot of times. They allowed people to live. They created compromises with the people in the land. But God told them, you must destroy everything in that land. And they didn't follow God's instruction. In fact, we read through Judges. After a while, they followed God. But then they forgot about God. They had to be reminded. And now in Babylon, God put them in captivity for 70 years to try to shake them up a little bit. And we see a remnant will go back to Jerusalem, will go back to the promised land and rebuild the temple. Ezekiel ministered to his generation, who were both exceedingly sinful and thoroughly hopeless. By means of this prophetic ministry, he attempted to bring them to immediate repentance and to have confidence in the distant future. What does that remind you of? How about Moses when he came off Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and he saw the golden calf? Those people rebelled, and because he wasn't there, they decided to build a golden calf. They sinned. They wanted to worship an object rather than worshiping Jehovah God. And they were punished for 40 years. And that whole group, even Moses, didn't enter the promised land. Only two individuals did. And that was Joshua and Caleb. So Ezekiel, he taught that God works through human messengers. He speaks through prophets. And they receive God's messages through visions, through dreams, and they communicate God's will to the people. And that's what Ezekiel did. Even in defeat and despair, God's people need to affirm God's sovereignty. That's a pretty significant item to teach. Even when you're in captivity, you still have to acknowledge God's sovereignty. And when we read next week about Daniel, no matter what was thrown at him, he always put the Lord first. And so did his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We look way back in Genesis. We look at Joseph, who interpreted dreams, who was second in command of Egypt, and he still remained faithful to Jehovah. It is a lesson for you and I today to always keep God first in our lives, before self, before family. We should put God first, and that's what we've been studying for years, God's sovereignty. And it's important to recognize God is in control, not man. God's word never fails. When we have difficulties in our lives, go to God's word. See what God has to say about the particular subject. Meditate on that. Pray about it. Put it into action in your life so that you could be a better servant of God, for God. God is present and can be worshiped anywhere. Back in the Old Testament, they wanted a temple, God's house. But God is present everywhere and can be worshiped no matter where you are. These individuals, the Israelites, were in captivity and they could still worship Jehovah. Not their way, but by God's way. And people must obey God if they expect to receive blessings. We as Christians should realize that we have to obey God's word. We have to live by what he says. And not only live it, but show others that you are a child of God. And God's going to bless you. He is going to provide for you. He is going to give you everything you need to live. Not everything you want, but everything that is necessary to assist you in your Christian walk of life. Ezekiel also taught about God's kingdom will come. We as Christians are looking forward to the day when we will be in God's kingdom eternally. And if we allow the worldly things to pull us away from worshiping our Lord and Savior, we will be lost eternally. And when you look at what Ezekiel shared with his generation, these points are applicable to you and I today in our lives. As Christians, we should recognize God works through us. We as Christians have a responsibility, and that is to share the word, share the gospel message with others to the best of our ability. And when we put God first in our lives and worship him according to his word, we are going to be blessed with many, many things from him. And we should recognize that we all want to be with God in his kingdom in heaven. Ezekiel prophesies under the following kings: Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Jedaniah, I messed that one up. And this one I know, Zedekiah. So the kings, the last kings of Israel, last kings of Judah, and they didn't listen. And that's sad. because they had God's mouthpiece, Ezekiel, sharing with them what God wanted them to do, and they didn't listen. And they were, the Babylonians put them in captivity. Ezekiel, destined to begin his life ministry as a priest at the age of 30, was uprooted from his homeland and marched off to Babylon at the age of 25. And for 5 years, he languished in despair. He was troubled because he wanted to start his ministry as a priest and work with the people. At the age of 30, a majestic vision of Yahweh's glory captivated his being in Babylon. The priest prophet discovered God was not confined to the narrow strictures of Ezekiel's native land. So Yahweh wasn't restricted to the promised land. He was all over. And God is a universal God who commands and controls all persons and all nations. God is in control. And people should recognize this. Many people don't. Many people fail to see what God had created, what God had given them. And the children of Israel were the same. In Babylon, God imparted to Ezekiel his word for the people. His call experience transformed Ezekiel. He became devoted to God's word. That's something that we as Christians should focus on. We have God's written word, and we are privileged to have the entirety of what God wanted mankind to, what he revealed to mankind. And it's at our fingertips, or in my case, it's on my laptop or tablet. Because the words are bigger and I could actually read them. But still, we are very blessed to have that. And as Ezekiel was transformed and devoted to God's word, we as Christians should also be devoted to God's word. He realized he had nothing personally to assist the captives in their situation. But he was convinced God's word spoke to their condition and could give them victory. So when we read God's word, even when we are troubled, we have heavy hearts, meditate on that, God's word. Pray to God, and he will give you victory. You may not see it right away, but it's in God's timeline, not our timeline. Ezekiel used various methods to convey God's word to his people. He used art in drawing a depiction of Jerusalem, symbolic actions and unusual conduct to secure attention. He cut his hair and beard to demonstrate what God would do to Jerusalem and its inhabitants. And that happened. He wanted to let the Israelites know God's in control and God's going to do his will rather than man's. In chapter 34, God denounces the leaders of Israel as false shepherds for their poor care of his people. Instead of caring for the sheep of Israel, they cared for themselves. They put themselves first. They ate well, were well clothed, and well cared for by the very people they have been placed over. Can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 3, please?
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the sheep herds feed the flock? You eat the fat and the clothes and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock.
Thank you, Di. So we see in this particular passage, those shepherds, those people in charge of the spiritual welfare of Israel, didn't care for them. They cared for themselves. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and who protects them from the wolves who would destroy the flock. We read about Jesus as being the good shepherd, and we know that he laid down his life for our sins. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So we see Jesus, who is a good shepherd. He will take care of those who follow him, those who obey his word. And we have many examples in the Gospels about what Jesus had done, what he taught, and what he expects from you and I. And the shepherds of Israel failed to minister to the weak, sick, injured, and lost. And Ezekiel says that in the fourth verse of chapter 34. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the loss. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. Those are harsh words to someone who is supposed to be a leader, a shepherd. And when you put that in today's perspective of the church, the elders, the shepherd, are supposed to lead and have a concern for the flock and supposed to teach them, encourage them, admonish them, and build them up. And Jesus does that for you and I. But the shepherds of Israel, they failed their job. And as that verse says in 4, they didn't take care of these people. Something that we as shepherds should be doing. And Jesus is the great physician who heals our spiritual wounds by his death on the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed.
Thank you. So the prophet Isaiah had wrote about Jesus dying on the cross. And by his scourging we were healed. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He heals us. He is the one who seeks and saves that which is lost. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We are so privileged and blessed to have Jesus in our lives. And we as Christians should recognize his deity, his position, his greatness, and follow his lead in our Christian walk of life. The book of Ezekiel shares with us Judah and Jerusalem deserved the judgment of total destruction and exile because of their sins. We also see that judgment came on those who frequently violated the law of God. That's something that we should remember in our lives. When we transgress God's laws, we're going to be lost eternally. And God judged the nations who have turned against his people. So God's not only going to take judgment on his own people, but also those nations who turn on his people. And God brought great blessings to his people after the exile. And he's going to give us blessings beyond our beliefs when we join him in heaven. And the center of the restored people of God was Jerusalem and its temple. So after the 70 years of captivity, they were allowed to go back to the promised land, to Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple. The plan of restoration by God's grace. God will give his people a new heart. God will place a new spirit in his people. And this plan foreshadows baptism. Can I get a volunteer to read Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 through 29, please?
I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers, so that you will be my people and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the gain of multiply it. And I will not bring a famine on you.
Thank you, Anne. So we see that God would give his people a new heart. And he did. And God would place a new spirit in his people. So when you read this particular passage, Ezekiel says that water is going to clean us. When we are baptized into the body of Christ, all our sins are forgiven. And God's going to give us a new spirit within us. He's going to put his spirit in our walk of life. So just think about that when you are going through your life. You were baptized and you have God's Spirit dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit. You should think twice about transgressing God's law, sinning. And we are people who sin. But we are so blessed to have Jesus as our mediator if we repent from those sins and ask for forgiveness. Ezekiel describes Jehovah as omnipotent, having unlimited power. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24 through 25, I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. So God has unlimited power. He also describes Jehovah as omniscient, knowing everything. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, we read, as for their rims, they were lofty and awesome. And the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. Whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living things rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Whether the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction, and the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living beings were in the wheels. Whenever those went, they went, and whenever those stood still, they stood still, and whenever they rose from the earth, the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living things were in the wheels. So God is all-knowing, and he's omnipresent. He's present everywhere at the same time. And Ezekiel explains that in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darted back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and the lightning was flashing from the fire, and the living beings ran to and from like bolts of lightning. So Ezekiel describes Jehovah as being present everywhere, and nothing escapes him. And we should remember that. In the book of Ezekiel, calls us to join in and living encounter with joining a fresh and living encounter with the God of Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. We must be overcomers, or we will be overcome. So when you read the book of Ezekiel, remember, put God first. And Ezekiel challenges us to experience a life-changing vision of God's power, knowledge, eternal presence, and holiness. To let God direct us. To comprehend the depth of and the commitment to evil that lodges in each human heart. Satan will use what he can to entice us, to pull us away from God. And we are weak. We sin. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Ezekiel challenged us to recognize that God holds his servants responsible for warning wicked men of their peril. And also that applies to us today. We have the responsibility to share the gospel message with those who aren't Christians. And finally, Ezekiel challenges us to experience a living relationship with Jesus Christ, who said that the new covenant is to be found in his blood. That finishes tonight's lesson. Are there any additions or comments someone wants to share with the group? I appreciate everybody's readings and patience with me. I was running out of gas at the end. So just bear with me. And so we finished Ezekiel, and next week we will look at the book of Daniel. And that's a pretty interesting book, and I'm still trying to figure out how to put it together. I'm almost there.